Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hello, it's Monday the 20th of July 2020 and this is Activity Quest. My name's Connor, how are we doing? So Activity Quest has replaced Stuck at Home. It's all about getting out and about now that lockdown's lifted. The fun is starting. There's a new episode every week. So in this one, Dan's off on a treetop adventure. George is telling us about some places that are open across the UK. And Bex is speaking to vet and debut author Jess French. And we are taking a visit to our very own Anna Louise's farm. Super fun. It's called the Mini Motley Farm. And we are finding out what she is up to. So let's not muck about. This is Activity Quest, the podcast packed with things for you to do out and about. Dan, where are you right now?
I am at Goape in the middle of the Forest of Dean in Gloucestershire. If you've never been, Goape is basically like this massive woodland assault course all the way up in the trees, kind of brilliantly terrifying, really. In front of me is a tiny wooden hut. In the trees, just above my head, I can see nets and zip lines and ropes and wires and all that kind of thing. People climb in all over them, like ridiculously brave. It's actually my first time here. And I grew up really close to a Goape, so I'm very excited to get going.
Every Goape session starts with a safety tutorial from a Goape instructor.
The most important rule today is always stay attached to the safety system. The safety system is the red cables around the trees and the steel cables marked with red buffers.
They strap on your harness to keep you safe in the canopy, and then you climb a rope ladder and ascend high up into the trees.
This Goape course is at Mallard's Pike, and it's split into five parts. The first of them you do with your instructor, and from that point, it's kind of down to you. You're on your own. It starts easy, and then you know it gets more and more and more difficult as you go along. At some points, you even have options, moderate or extreme. And I like my extreme things.
Now, whilst I was clambering all over the place up in the trees, producer Adam was down on the ground and was asking some questions.
Standing in front of me right now is Alex. She works at Goape. She's dressed head to toe in navy. Apart from her harness, she's got a bright yellow harness on. There's loads of wires and cables dangling from it. She's got clips at the end of them. Alex, what is it that you do here at Goape?
So I'm a senior instructor at Goape. I send people around the trees to have a really good time, make sure they're going to be safe and ensure, yeah, they're going to have a really great time with us.
Swinging from treetop to treetop sounds quite dangerous. Is Goape safe?
Yes, it's absolutely safe. The instructors will make sure that you know what you're doing and that you'll be clipped on at all times. You've got your harness on, you'll be absolutely fine. And with the strange times going on at the moment with coronavirus, all we ask is that you keep one household to a platform and the starting of each site as much as possible.
Talk to me about the course then. There are platforms in the trees, and essentially it's different ways to move from treetop to treetop. Talk me through some of those. What can people expect if they're going to come down?
So you've got quite a variety of different obstacles to do to go from tree to tree. Some of them are very wobbly. Some of them are a bit more swingy. Some of them a little bit more stable, but mostly quite wobbly, if I'm honest. Also, to get from one tree to another, which is quite far away, we've got the Tarzan swing, which is really, really cool. You do a little bit of a drop and you swing through the air like Tarzan into a net, and then you show off your monkey skills by climbing up the net to the other side.
This is Libby. Libby's been to Goape before.
Hi, Activity Quest. I've done this as a really big group and I really like it because it's nice because if it's just you and like one of your friends, then if one of you is on the crossing but there's someone in front of you, then you can't do it together. So you, if you have it in a big group, then you'll get like, then you might be able to at some point.
Thanks, Libby. I can absolutely recommend going as a big group too. I was in a group with like 7 other people and we all became mates and we were cheering each other on, really willing ourselves to do the best. Alex, tell us a bit more about what there is to do here.
So here at Mallard's Pike, we have also got the Forest Segways. That is an hour-long session. You go out with an instructor and enjoy the scenes, really, of the Forest of Dean. It's a lovely 5-kilometre loop that we do. The whole session takes you about an hour long to do. Also down the road at Beechinhurst Lodge, we have got Treetop Adventure, which is more for family groups. They're for your younger adventurers. So Treetop Challenge takes you about 2 to 3 hours to complete, and Treetop Adventure is an hour-long session. So it's a set course and you go around as many times as you can within 1 hour. The way you attach is different as well. So at Treetop Challenge, we give you a safety brief and you are expected to attach yourself on all of the crossings and the zip wires. And at Treetop Adventure, an instructor attaches you onto a cable and away you go. You don't have to worry about attaching on, you just have to worry about having fun.
I am exhausted, so tired from this. It's been amazing though. I'm just about to do the final last zip line. Go Ape, Mallard's Pike in the Forest of Dean, 2 hours of non-stop climbing and forest exploring.
Now that sounds like good fun. Super jealous of that. And if you'd like to get involved, Treetop Challenge starts at £25, adventure from £16, and there are Go Ape locations across the UK. Remember though, do book before you visit over at goape.co.uk. And do get in touch. We want to hear what you're up to whilst you're out and about now that lockdown has been lifted. Do get in touch over at funkidslive.com/activityquest and send us your thoughts as a video, an audio clip, or you can upload photos. We want to see you doing all the fun stuff, and we may use them in a future episode. Now, if you can't get to Go Ape this week, or you may be a little bit scared of heights like myself, George, what's on elsewhere?
Cutty Sark in Greenwich in London is open to visitors from today. It used to trade tea between London and China 150 years ago, but now you can step aboard and have a quick look around yourself. You have to pre-book your tickets in advance. An adult costs £15, key workers go free, and until the 31st of August, you're able to get a free child ticket to Cutty Sark with every paying adult. It's open from 10:30 in the morning to 4 p.m, and you can find out more at rmg.co.uk. If you're in the northwest of England, the gates of Lancaster Castle have reopened to the public, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday to Sunday. England's darker history has been lived out over the centuries within the confines of Lancaster Castle. It has been the scene of trials, executions, and has even housed prisoners until as recently as 2011. There are guided tours, but check before you visit. Adults are £8, or a family of 1 adult, 3 children, or 2 adults, 2 children is £20. Find out more at lancastercastle.com. And if you're in the south, the Swanage Railway is reopened with a special fundraising train service. You'll need to book your socially distanced seats online and wear a face mask, but it's worth it for a ride on these 1960s heritage trains. They're running non-stop from Swanage to Norden and return past Corfe Castle. There are 4 departures per day. The trip lasts 45 minutes. A table for 4 is £40. You can have a 6-seater compartment for £50 and under 5s go free. SwanageRailway.co.uk is the place to find out more about that.
Cheers, George. And of course, there are still things you can do at home if you can't get out and about just yet. Now, we had 106 episodes of Stuck at Home. It's still on this channel if you'd like to go take a listen. We gave you a ton of things to get up to whilst you are stuck at home. And one of the main things, certainly from me, was becoming a chef. Lots of cooking. I'm talking cinnamon buns, pasta dishes, bread, sourdough loaves. We have done it all and you can catch up. So if you would like to get involved with cooking, I would like you to make your very own cookbook. Super easy. Just put the ingredients, you know, put a nice big title at the top of your amazing dish you are making and maybe some pictures as well. Do send us photos over at funkidslive.com. And if you are looking for something else to do, you're thinking, Connor, I'm not much of a cook. Well, how would you like to be on TV showing everyone how talented you are? The TV channel Pop is hosting a big summer festival, Popfest. Tune in and be part of the feel-good summer atmosphere over on Pop with shows such as Big Top Academy and Trolls, The Beat Goes On. Submit your very own talent clips and compete for the chance to join the lineup on Pop's main stage and also win incredible prizes all without having to leave your home. Head on over to the Fun Kids website, it's funkidslive.com, to find out how to enter the Pop Fest competition. Now, Bex is chatting to someone very special. Bex, how are we doing?
So, for my very first guest on Activity Quest, we are joined by author, vet, conservationist, and presenter Jess French. Hey, Jess.
Hello.
Now, a lot of our listeners might know you from your Mini Beast Adventure books and TV series, which made me think, actually, you might have some tips if we were to go in the garden, what mini beasts we could look for or what we could get involved with outdoors right now with the creepy crawlies.
Yeah, well, at the moment, in the gorgeous weather, there have been loads of butterflies about. There's loads of flowers about at this time of year. So anything that feeds on nectar from the flowers will be about. So that's things like bees, some different types of flies, butterflies, lots of flying insects. But also there's loads of beetles out and about as well. Some of them eating nectar, lots of brightly coloured and quite big beetles I've seen people showing me on social media recently. Yeah, lots and lots of things to get out there and have a look at.
Is there anything, like, have you got a little a butterfly feeder in your back garden or a bird's nest, or like how do you look after the mini beasts?
Well, actually, we've got a couple of plants that we've planted specifically because we know that mini beasts love to feed from them. So we've got a buddleia, which is also known as a butterfly bush, and that really is absolutely always covered in butterflies and bees as well. And we also have some areas which we leave where we don't mow the lawn. So that obviously attracts lots of mini beasts as well. And some insect hotels as well that we've made.
Yeah, I can imagine while you've been stuck at home, those insect hotels may have been built, may have been growing, and with more and more stories, I imagine.
Absolutely, yes. Lots of insect hotel renovations going on during lockdown.
Yeah, I think I suggested people do that in our other podcast, Stuck at Home and On Air. And I was surprised by how many people took it on board. Even my own cousin made an insect hotel and a little frog hostel as well, which was quite good fun.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's really impressive. Now, you are here to tell us today about your new book. It is beautiful. It's called Slow Down, Monkey. Can you explain a little bit about it to us?
Yeah, so as you said before, I'm a super busy person and I sometimes find it difficult to slow down and relax. But one of the things that really helps me is spending time in nature. And I wanted to try and bring that concept into a book to see if there were other people out there who struggled to slow down, who could be helped by this concept. So the story is about a little spider monkey who is rushing through the rainforest, trying to get everything ready for her birthday party. And everything is going wrong. She can't get it ready in time. And she's getting really, really stressed and worried. And she meets this super chilled, calm sloth who teaches her how to slow down, a few mindfulness techniques, although they're not explicitly explained as mindfulness techniques, but the sloth tells her how to appreciate the rainforest around her and to just feel a little bit calmer by being more connected to nature.
It's really good advice because I know right now, I mean, we've had a few months of not really doing much and suddenly we're back into the real world and everything's a bit busy again and it's a little bit scary. So this is probably quite good advice as we kind of ease ourselves back into normal life. I have to also ask, what is your favourite animal in the book? Because at the end, you give us a lovely little guide. I mean, you can tell you're a vet here because this is perfect. You even give us like the proper names for the animals. I love it. So what is your favourite animal in the book?
Oh, it's so tricky because I picked all of them because they are real animals that live in the Colombian rainforest and because I was fascinated by them. So I suppose, oh, goodness, you're putting me on the spot now. I really love the spider monkey. I've done a lot of work with primates all over the world. And I guess that's why I chose a primate to be the main character. And I suppose I really relate to her as well, because I feel like I'm like monkey, always rushing to do things. But I love sloth as well, just because Sloth is so chilled and has such an important message for us. And sloths are super cute as well, aren't they? So I don't know.
It's great. I also, I love the poison dart frogs because I didn't know. I love at the end you say, the reason they've got such brightly coloured skin is it means don't eat me, I'm deadly, which is great advice.
Yeah, I mean, and actually quite a lot of, we even have animals in this country that have colouring that says don't eat me, I'm poisonous, or I've got a sting. So even in your back garden, you could see things like wasps and bees, and they do exactly the same thing. It's called aposematism, and it's when you have bright colours. So some creatures, they have really dull colours, right, to hide in the leaves or whatever. But creatures that have stings or are poisonous, they don't need to hide. In fact, they display that they're there with these bright colours that say, don't come near me because you're going to get hurt.
I love that. I didn't realise that was a thing, but I think that's fantastic. I had no idea until I read this.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you learned something as well.
Oh man, I learned a lot from your book. You said you were always very busy. I have to ask, what is your next adventure? Are you travelling somewhere soon, or are you staying at home and just having a few adventures in your back garden?
Well, it's lots of back garden adventures at the moment, obviously, because we can't really go very far. But also because I have two really small children, I have a really little baby. And so we're just having lots of adventures. And actually, by spending time with them in the garden, it's like seeing it all for the first time again anyway. So it's really exciting to go out into the garden and to see how excited they are about seeing worms and ladybirds and different types of butterflies. And my two-year-old has just started telling the difference between different butterflies and... yeah, she's super excited to go out and see what different species of butterflies have come out.
Oh, well, Jess, thank you so much for chatting to us. We'll let you get back to your butterflies. And we should say Slow Down Monkey is out on the 6th of August. So everybody needs to check it out when they see it in the shops because it is a beautiful book. And hopefully we'll see you in the actual Fun Kids studio soon.
Fab. Awesome. Thank you. Lovely to speak to you.
You too, Jess. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Thanks, Bex, and thank you to Jess French. Now, if you listen to her Fun Kid show, This Is Anna Louise, you'll know that she lives on a farm. And you may be sitting there thinking, I never believed it. Well, it is actually true. She does live on a farm. It's really, really cool. It's called the Mini Motley Farm. It's in Kent, and it's hard work to run a farm, as we're about to find out. So this podcast is all about getting out and about, and we're paying a visit to Anna Louise every week to find out what's happening on the farm.
Hello and welcome to Mini Motley Farm. We have all sorts of quirky animals here. I've got 100 rescue and rare breed animals, everything from miniature horses to miniature sheep. We've even got tiny miniature chickens, rare breed pheasants, guinea fowl, guinea pigs, rabbits, dogs, fish, you name it, we've got it on the mini farm. I've pulled up my wheelbarrow and I'm climbing into our big chicken enclosure that houses most of our laying hens and huge Sussex cockerel, because today is mucking out day, as it is every Sunday. I take the opportunity to muck out all of the enclosures, pens, chicken coops, guinea pig runs, rabbit houses. This is no small task. It does take hours, but it's so important to do to keep them all healthy, to do health checks at the same time, and also give the place a freshen up. Getting straight in there, digging with my dustpan and brush, my trusty go-to piece of equipment. It does get very dusty. I have to remember to come out for air. Hello, chicken. No, out the way. Out the way, Gloria. They love to get involved. They're so nosy. If you've got chickens yourself, you'll know how nosy they are and that they want to get involved in every activity. Thank you. Out. It's really interesting, actually, because a lot of friends and family who don't have the commitment of this will often say to me when I mention that it's mucking out day, oh, poor you, you know, I hope you get the job done quickly. That sounds like fun, sarcastically. But actually, I love it. And along with poo picking the fields with the horses, which is another job that has to be done, even though it sounds grimy and mucky and unglamorous, which it certainly is, But I really like this time. It's time to myself. It's time doing physical work. It's a really good workout. It's a lot of bending, stretching, reaching, lifting. It's time with me, the animals, and my thoughts. I'm just climbing in. You can't be squeamish, that's for sure. Right. The entire chicken coop has been thoroughly cleaned out. Now I'm going in with my spray guns, disinfectant. Leave the door open on that one for it to settle down and air out a bit. Chickens, come on, out. Come on, you were racing to get outside, racing to be let out. Come on, out. Now I'm in here, you want to be in here with me? I love them. I love you, but you're pests. They always want to be right up in your face, getting involved. They think they're helping, but they're really not. Right, I've just lugged the bale of shavings over from the big shed because I'm going to need a hell of a lot in here to fill the space. Are you coming in, are you, to inspect? That's Gloria. She follows me around everywhere. She's now just jumped into the chicken coop and she is inspecting the shavings that I'm throwing in on the floor. Does that meet your standards, hun? Is that what you were hoping for? Final step, adding in our paper shreddings from our home office into the area that they lay in to make it nice and cosy and fresh for them. It's lovely and bouncy. Their eggs are going to come bouncing out on that. All that's left to do now is take the muck to the heap. It's up a hill at the back of the garden and we put all of our bushes and garden cuttings and bracken and mucking out shavings and bedding and everything on here, and it makes the best compost going. Heave ho up the hill. And the best bit is, now that I've loaded up the muck heap, all the chickens are going to flock and gather and root around and rummage in this for the rest of the day, which is a really beautiful thing to watch. And again, an activity of mindfulness for me.
Thanks, Anna Louise, for teaching me about clearing out chicken poo, something that I hope I never have to do. Now, you may not have a farm near you, but maybe your grown-ups tell you your bedroom looks like one. I mean, my mum has told me a lot that my bedroom is basically like a farm. Yeah, I know. Perhaps give that a little scrub up clean if you are still at home and make it nice and clean. And that is all we have time for on Activity Quest today. I've been your host, Connor. Thanks for getting us on. And if you're looking for stuff to do, why don't you try some of the things we've mentioned in this episode? We've given you loads to do out and about in this podcast, but the most important bit is you doing them. Tell us what you get up to over at funkidslive.com/activityquest. Upload your videos, upload your photos, send them our way, and we might use what you send us in future episodes. And please remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to this, and we'll see you next week. Quick one before I go, if you do leave a review or a comment, put a smiley face emoji. I just want to know that you was with me. See you next week. Bye.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.